afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, a stand-in for sit-in for Dave Allen, Butch Paul, Pastor Butch Paul. He's joining us today, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, August 4th, 2022. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just peachy keen. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I have no complaints. It's been a busy day in the office, and we got a few things accomplished and fixed the mistakes we made. You're making a mistake.
A what?
You're making a mistake. Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say.
What is that?
We had to fix for him today, but what the heck? Anyway, we had a good day. Just a busy day, but a good day.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now, you know, that's one thing about being the boss. If you make a mistake, you can blame it on somebody else. No, I don't do that.
It doesn't work that way, though, around here.
It doesn't work that way. Everybody does try to pass the buck, but in today's world, but... But again, I better get going before I get into more trouble here. So let's go ahead and get right to the, because we got some good news today. Yes, we're going to start with gold prices today. And gold today, and it slowly creeped up throughout the day. It wasn't up just, you know, $28 like it was now. It was up like, you know, it was up. It was up big in the morning, you know, $10, $15, but then it went to $20, $21, $22, $23. Throughout the day, it just slowly kept climbing. And I find that very interesting because usually it's all or nothing. You know, it'll go up big and it'll stay there all day. It'll fluctuate so much. But so it was a very exciting day to watch gold continue to move, 1794. We're still trying to get it over 18, though, up $28. Silver was up 15 cents at $20.30. Platinum was up, was the winner of the day, up 3.5%, $32 at $941. Palladium was up almost 3%. Up $58 at $2,160. The USDX today was down 0.69 at 105.68. Crude oil had a good negative day for us anyway, down a 2.25 at 88.43. And I was reading earlier today that the demand for gasoline is lower even prior to the pandemic. So, and that was 2020. So, well, folks,
that may be true, but I haven't. When this was going on, Melody, there were no cars on the road. I don't see any lack of vehicles now. So, I don't know how that works. Maybe they are selling less. But during the pandemic, I could drive through Summersville and maybe see 4 or 5 cars, where now you see 50 to 100.
True.
I don't know what the difference is. I don't know how they figured this out.
But I don't think people are driving probably as much on the weekends. You're going to go back and forth to work. But I would be thinking that's a little more of the extra. But they said before the pandemic, not during the pandemic. I guess so. I don't know either. So anyway, hey, they just rewrite the rules. They rewrite definitions. Yep. They rewrite the outcomes. So that's the world. They rewrite history. So why not?
Yep. I agree.
Let's just change everything. So anyway, good deal in the precious metals. And everybody is waiting for the July jobs report tomorrow. And the Dow was down 85 points at 32,726. S&P was basically flat, down a couple points, 4,151. But the NASDAQ managed to be up 52 points, 12,720. Asia, and they're not worried about war anymore. Everything is all positive. Europe is war with China, with Pelosi? Nah, that's not going to happen in Taiwan. Everybody is just happy today. Everything is all green. around the world. 10-year yield, that's still holding at 2.66, so not a lot of move there. And all the oil was negative. Even natural gas was down a little, Must have went up, because I thought we were in the sevens the day before, but now we're at 8.16 for natural gas. Brent is 93.95, and again, the WTI was 88. So that's pretty much it in the nutshell, as they claim it. But a nice day for the precious metals. We'll have to see what's happening tomorrow. As I said, everybody's waiting for the jobs report. And U.S. trade deficit falls 6.2% to $79 billion and hits a six-month low. Global supply stress eased a little bit, but in July to just a one-and-a-half-year low. See if any other interesting news. I'm sure we'll be talking about Taiwan here in just a little bit.
Yes, we will.
Yep. We're going to be talking about weekly jobless claims, I'm sure, right, Butch?
Yep.
So we'll be talking about that in just a little bit. And it's kind of pretty much the same. Bank of England is going to raise rates by the most since 1995. So, and that's how long they've just been pumping in this free money to these economies. They don't think that's going to have any bad implications, like, you know, like these economies are going to be able to sustain any good growth if they're going to start pulling out money. So that's just amazing, Butch. But hey,
everything
is on the go. Everything is sort of people are waiting. I don't know they're waiting for, but people are waiting.
Well, I guess they're hoping against hope things may turn around, I suppose. I mean, that's all I can figure it is. But you know, when you say 1995, that seemed like just a few years ago to most of us. That's been 25 years ago. But it doesn't seem like that when you look back in time, does it? How quickly that went by.
I know.
It's amazing. So, yes, that's a quarter of a century going. Oh, I'm getting old. But anyway, it is what it is. So we'll see what happens with the job report. I'm kind of anxious to see it. If they will tell us a half-truth, maybe we'll see something that really backs up what we know is going on. You know, you mentioned Taiwan. We'll get to Taiwan and other places again, too. But you know what? We know what happened with, of course, Russia and Ukraine. We know Russia was a little upset that we wanted Ukraine to join NATO. And now our Senator Manchin, and I'm not sure about Capito, but Manchin and the Senate voted to admit Sweden and Finland to NATO. Now, these people, folks, are right on the Russian border. I still can't imagine if they did the same thing to us, and they had Canada and Mexico and others and joined their alliance, what would we think about that? Nothing seems to, but we, you know, we're Americans. We can get by with it, and people are supposed to like it. So the Senate voted to ratify Finland and Sweden's application to join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The two Northern European countries sought to join the Defensive Treaty Organization after Russia invaded Ukraine. Each country must ratify Sweden and Finland's application to be admitted to NATO. The Senate overwhelmingly approved the application for both countries, 95-1, folks. No, it's not just the Democrats. Democrats and the Republicans overwhelmingly approved the measure, while Senator Josh Hawley, Republican Missouri, voted no, and Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, voted present. That's a way for a coward to get out of it, and that's just what it is. I don't respect him for doing that. But nonetheless, one voted no. Had enough courage to say this isn't what we need to do, but they did it. And that's going to, of course, really help our relationship with Russia, isn't it, Melody?
Well, you know, I wonder if the Russia allowing that shipment of grain out of Ukraine, I wonder if that wasn't some sort of a bargaining chip, perhaps, to keep them from voting to admit them into NATO. So it didn't work. And so now you wonder what his next thing might be, because it's too close for it to be a coincidence that he had to have been promise something in order to let those grains go. He was trying to accomplish something, whether he was promised or whether he was just trying to show some good faith for the people around the world. I don't know. But, so it didn't work, whatever he was trying to accomplish. But, and, you know, the thing of it is about NATO, I mean, that agreement, I mean, how often do they update any of the requirements or the treaties or regulations or whatever? I mean, that thing is how old?
Oh, my.
I mean, you talk about bringing something into the modern world and changing it. So, but things continue to get interesting.
They do. Well, we know Pelosi made her move. And if China doesn't respond in some kind of aggressive way, the U.S. come out looking good on that end. But it ain't over yet. Ballistic missiles soar over Taiwan. Hundreds of PLA fighters breach airspace as five-day drills commence. Now, I don't know how far this is going to reach. I still don't think it's sufficient enough to say that they are doing something equal to Pelosi being there. But nonetheless, China's kicked off its latest round of war drills Thursday, aimed at encircling and pressuring Taiwan in the wake of this week's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to the self-ruled island the day after she departed and continued on her Asian tour to South Korea. Well, South Korea's China leader is not going to meet with her. Anyway, according to China's People Daily, this has included PLA command dispatching hundreds of fighter jets to enter airspace of the northern, southwestern, and southeastern airspaces of the island. At the moment, Taiwan's defense forces are on a heightened state of alert. That would not take much, Melody, to trigger something there that we don't want to think about. A panic, a short panic. Push a button. Oh, my. That's dangerous. That is dangerous. It's like playing Russian roulette. On Wednesday, a half a dozen jets were reported as having breached the medium line separating the Taiwan Strait. Beijing is promising, in essence, this is only the beginning. More than 100 PLA warplanes, including fighter jets and bombers, conducted joint reconnaissance, air assault, and support missions, and more than 10 destroyers and frigates conducted a joint blockade alert patrol and reconnaissance around Taiwan on Thursday. And more alarming, China launched a series of ballistic missiles into waters off Taiwan, with some having flown over the island. Taiwan has confirmed that mainland China launched 11 Dongfeng series missiles into waters north, south, and eastern of the island on Thursday afternoon, a day after U.S. Pelosi left Taipei. The island's defense ministry said that the 11 DF series missiles were fired between 1:56 p.m. and 4 p.m. is the first time mainland missiles have flown over the island. Taipei's defense ministry immediately condemned the severe provocation. The defense ministry condemned the irrational actions to undermine regional peace. A statement said Taiwan further called on Beijing to be self-restrained. And everybody in Taiwan did not want to see Pelosi there. Some of them said they were sending a witch from the West. And they did. But anyway, this is coming also comments on this ugly, shameless evil. China blasts G7, EU attempts to de-escalate Taiwan crisis. The military buildup around Taiwan continues as China disregards Western attempts to ease tensions following House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's high-profile trip. Beijing on Thursday slammed an attempt by members of the G7 and EU to ease tensions around Taiwan following House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip, dismissing their joint statement as ugly, shameless, evil, and reminiscent of century-old attempts by Western powers to impose imperialist control over China. The Chinese people have long ceased to be bullied and pushed around by foreign powers, a spokesperson for the Chinese mission to the EU said in one of the several acerbic responses by Chinese officials to the statement. Today's world is no longer an era in which Western powers can run amok. What to do about Taiwan is up to 1.4 billion Chinese people. Well, is this the end of Melody? Is this going to be all of it? I don't know. Is this all China's going to do is penetrate their defense lines for a while and shoot some missiles across the island? Is that going to be the end of it? That would be a good thing if it was.
I think
don't know what the next step's going to be.
I think if that was the end of it, then I think this whole thing was staged to some degree.
Well,
I mean, they knew exactly, you know, when he had that two-hour conversation with Biden last week. I mean, this was discussed, and you know, oh well, we'll do this, and you know, so you know, just you know, stand down, this, you know, but you know, we're going to show you. I don't know how much. That's just my, you know. But my question is, why did Pelosi go to Taiwan? Why?
I understand
what
that
was her
with microchips.
Point?
Microchips are made there for us, but they're the biggest producer of microchips in the U.S. and anybody in the world. I understand that may be a part of it. I do not know that, though.
Okay. But the United States is subsidizing billions and billions of dollars so that these chips can be made here. So, which means costs will rise, and it's not going to happen overnight. So, was that it? I mean, you would think something like that could get done by the telephone.
Well, you would think
so. Maybe she wants to have the investment in there so they can make millions and millions and millions of more dollars. I don't know, but I'm just saying. Government has not released, as far as I know. We're speculating that's why she went. But was there a paper or an announcement released of why she went?
I don't remember seeing it. If there was, I didn't see it. I did not see it. I don't know what the real reason was. I have a talking to somebody now, but a gentleman who's supposed to know. Last name is Ho, H-O. Supposed to know more about that. I'm anxious to talk to him, see what he comes up with. I haven't talked to him, spoken to him yet, but he says he knows what went on in the secret meetings. We'll find out.
Okay. Okay.
We'll find out. Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But it's
see,
just something that.
How do people find out though what's in a secret meeting though? But anyway.
Well, to me, it's just a way to provoke them. That's my opinion. And again, it could have been a deal struck before they went over there. I don't know. But my opinion is that just a way to provoke them and to make them angry. I don't know. I don't know.
But you would think before a politician leaves this country to visit other nations, there should be more than just an itinerary. There should be. And that should be public.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, when Trump traveled anywhere, I mean, we pretty much knew exactly what he said.
That's very true.
And what the discussions were.
Yep.
And many times we shouldn't have, but well, I hear the music already.
I do too. It's break time.
All righty. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call and visit the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we have Butch Paul joining us today. Dave is out, and he'll be back on Tuesday. And I think we're just about finishing up Taiwan, are we not? Or
yeah, I think that's about all got. I mean, I will say about it. I have no idea what they'll say about this. Only time will tell if this is going to escalate or not. If this was a prearranged drama, then maybe it's over. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, I definitely believe, I mean, China's just not going to sit back and so forth, but I mean, there was something other than, I believe, just the chip thing that she went to Taiwan for. And, you know, she was just wasting time. What else do they know how to do? That's what they know how to do the best. It's waste time.
They do. Waste our money.
Waste our money. Yeah, absolutely.
Move on to a different topic now. I think this is in my mind, this is an excellent thing that Governor DeSantis did. Now, I think everybody knows he's contemplating running for 2024. I think that's not a secret. And so is Kristi Noem in South Dakota contemplating running for in 2024. Both of them, in my mind, are good people as far as candidates that might make a difference. I don't know. But anyway, DeSantis suspends Soros-backed state attorney for a violating oath. And that, in my mind, as far as I know, is the first time an Oklahoma governor ever doing this. This is unheard of. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has suspended State Attorney Andrew Warren for picking and choosing which laws to enforce based on his personal agenda, and has appointed Susan Lopez as his replacement during the suspension. Warren, who had served the 13th Judicial Circuit as most recently refused to follow a state policy criminalizing abortion or murder, criminalizing murder, in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, repeatedly refused to enforce laws cracking down on child sex change surgeries, according to DeSantis. The liberal state attorney also declined to prosecute 67 protesters arrested in George Floyd demonstrations and said in 2017 that he would only pursue the death penalty in the very worst cases and not where mental illness played a role. We are suspending Soros-backed 13th Circuit Court State Attorney Andrew Warren for neglecting his duties as he pledges not to uphold the laws of the state, DeSantis' office said in a statement. DeSantis made the announcement at a Thursday press conference surrounded by Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody, and others. The Constitution of Florida has vested the veto power in the governor, not in the individual state attorneys, DeSantis said. So when you flagrantly violate your oath of office, when you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty and you have neglected your duty and you are displaying a lack of competence to be able to perform those duties. And so today, we're suspending State Attorney Andrew Warren, effective immediately, DeSantis concluded to applause. Bless his heart. That's a bold move. A bold move. I mean, the man was not enforcing state laws. He's bringing his own policies in to run the state by. And that was not to be allowed. And I think it's a phenomenal thing that DeSantis did. What's your opinion?
Well, it is a great. We should really see that everywhere in every part of the government. When somebody's not doing their job, they should be released. I mean, you know, everybody talks about all these regulations, and you know, even with gun control. Hey, if they would do their jobs, we wouldn't need any more regulation. The border, if they processed the laws that are already on the books, we wouldn't have a problem. But they don't. And those who don't do those, they should be replaced. They should be fired.
I agree.
Because they all take an oath to do so. So whoever is in charge of these different entities, as far as they should be fired because they're not doing their job.
I totally agree. So. DeSantis has done some things that not many of his governors I've known of before him have done, at least not last recently. Not recently. He's taken a stand on different issues, and he's enforced it. And I appreciate him doing that. I mean, I think he'd be a good candidate for president. I just think he'd be the one of the best candidates we could find. We know he's got some backbone. And well, I don't know what's going to happen if he will happen to run. Maybe I'm not a Trump fan, but you know, Trump was hammered from the day he got in office to the day he got out, and they're still hammering him. What would they try to do to DeSantis? Yeah, they may try to crucify him.
They might try to crucify DeSantis.
They hounded Trump.
But I think he can stand his own. I think he can stand on his own.
Well, I think you're right.
I'm not sure Trump would have a chance against DeSantis.
Well, I wasn't a Trump supporter in the first place, and not now either, to tell you the truth. I wasn't back then, I wasn't now, but independent. But nonetheless, DeSantis will be, they come after him with everything they had if he's elected, because they would hate everything he said and does. And that's just the way it is. But that's mm-hmm. okay. That's the cost of doing what's right sometimes. You know, I mean, look what it cost our Savior on the cross of Calvary to do what's right for us. So we shouldn't, good for DeSantis, and good for Kristi Noem for her stand also. Bless her heart, I appreciate her. And John Kennedy from Louisiana. You know what I'm talking about, right? The senator from Louisiana.
Yeah.
He wrote a pretty good article here. This is a short paragraph I'm going to read. Democrats' inflation bill will force Americans to live in a tent behind Whataburger. And this is what he said, pretty straightforward. Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, said Wednesday on FNC American Reports that the Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act, negotiated by our Senator Joe Manchin here in West Virginia and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, would result in Americans living in a tent behind Whataburger. Kennedy said, at some point, we need to stop asking who needs to pay more taxes and start asking what the hell happened to all the money that we had. That's a fair question, folks. Where's the trillions we've been giving them? But I digress. Because of inflation, which was made in Washington by President Biden, more and more Americans are getting really good at barely getting by in the wealthiest country in all the world in human history. It's because of inflation. I don't hate anybody. The Senator Manchin bill is an inflation machine. If he passes his bill, Joeflation, as some will call it, will refer to Joe Manchin, not Joe Biden. Senator Manchin's bill is a massive tax increase on oil and gas. Now, when you tax something, you get less of it. Duh, his bill is going to make prices go up. He continued, it is a special kind of stupid to raise taxes on businesses during a recession. Kennedy concluded, I don't hate anybody. I don't think Senator Manchin intentionally wants to hurt people. I don't think he wants more Americans to have to live in a tent behind Whataburger, but that is going to be the result of his bill. I agree. I don't know Senator Kennedy, but I agree with what he said. Raising taxes when people can't even afford to pay their bills now, you can't, and we said this in this program many times, you can't raise taxes on businesses because they pass the cost on to the consumer. We always pay, folks. Manchin is our governor here, our senator here in West Virginia, and I'm disgusted with him, to tell you the truth. And people are asking him not to run in the coming election. I won't certainly vote for him. But it's just, and I know the man personally, but I'm not going to vote for him. The guy either isn't thinking or he doesn't care. Either way, it's hurting me, it's hurting you, and I don't think we should tolerate it. Meldy?
Well, I think I heard that the reason he and Biden came to the agreement was he's getting a pipeline from West Virginia to Virginia, I guess, to carry natural gas, and that was the deal. And so,
really?
Mm-hmm, that's what I heard. But yeah, because he had to get something from it. And it, you know, it's just so much more of the same. And you're right, you know, they just flat out lie. Well, yep. No one making under this will be will see their tax. They lie. They flat out lie. And you're right. It's going to trickle down. They are not going to pay for it. Any additional taxes or that goes to these multinational corporations and businesses, they're not going to pay for it. They're going to trickle it on down to you. It's that
they
simple.
Always do.
Always do, always will. They're not going to change.
No. Why does
it's
the
business.
American people see that?
It's business.
It is business. Why can't the American people see that? And I can say it right here in the little ministry, Melody, when postage goes up, and it's going up a lot in the last few years, I can't eat that. I pass the cost on to the people that order the products. I have no choice. And I'm not even for a profit. That's not my idea. I pay the bills of the ministry. I don't make any money off this ministry. But the point I'm trying to make is, if I have to raise prices to cover us and keep us going on this little ministry, what do you think corporations are going to do? And they're not just going to charge you the increase. They're going to add more to it than that. So, there you go. Any comments on that?
No, we're finished with that one.
Okay. Initial jobless claims hit 8-month highs. Continuing claims jump ahead of payrolls print. Amid a growing wave of corporate layoff announcements and the number of Americans filing for first-time jobless benefits rose 260,000 last week, moving its 4-week average to the highest in 8 months. More problematically, continuing claims are now starting to roll nobly higher at 1.461 million, the highest since April. Connecticut, Oklahoma, and California saw the biggest rise in jobless claims, while Massachusetts, Kentucky, and Ohio saw the biggest drop in claims. The job markets remain tight, and large-scale layoffs have not begun. There are some indicators that hiring is slowing after months of growth, however. A quick glance down headlines showed that at least 12 big companies that have announced layoffs within the last 2 weeks. Here's a few of them. Ultratech, Incorporated, will lay off 600 workers. Electric truck maker Rivian will be laying off 840 workers. 7-Eleven has announced it will be eliminating 880 corporate jobs. Shopify is laying off 1,000 people. BMO says it will be eliminating 6% of its current workforce. Redfin said they'll be reducing the size of the workforce by 8%. Compass will be reducing the size of the workforce by 10%. Remax will be reducing the size of the workforce by 17%. Robinhood will be reducing the size of the workforce by 23%. It's being reported that Ford is preparing to lay off, to cut as many as 8,000 jobs in the coming weeks. GEICO has closed every single one of their offices in the state of California, and that will result in vast numbers of workers losing their jobs. Walmart's eliminating 200 corporate jobs as it contends with rising costs, bloated inventories, and weakening demand for general merchandise. So add those all together, Melody. Just the ones that were talked by percentage with VMO, Redfin, Compass, Remax, and Robinhood. Anywhere from 6% to 23% of the workforce is being laid off. Add all those together, that's a lot of jobs.
Yeah, and it's only going to be getting worse and worse. And, I mean, this is, you know, we might have been in a recession for a really long time. But, I mean, as far as, you know, with things being able to be adjusted after, you know, things started to go back to work and all the problems that we've had and so forth, you're really going to start seeing the impact. And again, tomorrow is going to be the jobs report. That'll tell us a lot. It'll tell us either they're lying again or it'll tell us that things are a little more difficult than what they pretend to be.
Well, you know, sir, I tell you that the thing of it is they don't mind lying to us.
Nope.
And when they're caught, they don't even bother apologizing.
Not anymore.
So it doesn't bother them. They've lost their fear of the people. Probably lost their conscience. There's not much left. And these are people that they have to face up to right now. Are being governed by people who are not concerned about us at all. They're concerned about their own offices, their own payrolls, and how they get by with one more whatever they want to do to get reelected. It's all about that. And next article here I thought was very interesting is more Americans are going hungry and it costs more to feed them. Now, I think that's not a surprise, but this is kind of interesting. The first time Kelly Wilcox drove a 2714 Dodge Grand Caravan to the food pantry near a home in Payson, Utah, she noticed one thing right away that surprised her. Newer models of Toyota and Honda sedans and minivans. I saw a bunch of other people like with cars like mine who had kids in cars, she said. The mother of four young sons hadn't known what to expect when she made that initial trip to Tabitha's Way local food pantry this spring. She did know she needed help. Her husband had lost his job. He soon found a new job as an account manager, but with inflation, it hasn't been enough. We still cannot keep up with the bills, said Mrs. Wilcox. She's 35 years old. To keep her children fed this summer, she has visited the pantry regularly and has said that that barring a change, like a drop in food prices or raising her husband, it will be necessary for the foreseeable future. Tabitha's Way location in Spanish Fork, Utah, a town of about 44,000 outside Provo, used to serve roughly 130 families each week, offering essentials like fresh produce and baby formula. This year, serving people like Mrs. Wilcox and her family whose paychecks are not going far enough, the numbers climbed to about above 200. So we're talking about 100% increase, roughly. The increase in food insecurity is not about a sudden wave of joblessness, as it was when the economy ground to a halt in 2020 in the first wave of the pandemic. It's about inflation, higher prices for housing, gas, and essentially food, especially food. According to the last report on consumer prices, the cost of food increased 10.4% from a year earlier, the largest 12-month gain since 1981. So, there you go. It's just tell the truth. Food pantries are getting slammed, and even they're having a hard time finding food. Yeah, there are no places to find food, so I don't know what to say about that.
Well, you know, hey, they can't feed babies in this country, so, you know, I don't know why people wouldn't think that there'd be shortages in other places and for other things.
Well, I mean, America is suffering for a lot of reasons, but the main reason, of course, she's forgotten God. That's Psalms 9:17. We're paying for that. But and for you and I, adults, okay, that's sad. But for children, that is rough to watch, Melody. It really is.
It is. It really is. And you it's know, just it a is. Just a sign of the status of this nation anymore.
It is. And it's a sign of, Biden just sent $1 billion to somewhere in Africa to help with food shortages in Africa. Why don't we put that money to people here who are having a hard time making it? If we're going to spend tax dollars, our money, why not spend it on our own people?
Yeah. We'll be right back. I hear the music. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And what's next, Butch?
I still say it's a shame they can't hear a conversation during the break.
we do have too much fun.
Well, they might realize that we're just regular people.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they know that already.
Well, I hope so. I don't want to think anything else because I'm a regular people. That's all that I am. I don't want to be anything other than that. Anyway, and I thought this was, these articles, we're going to, concerning inflation, we're going to discuss a couple of things here that have been said. It shouldn't surprise us, but it's just amazing how stupid they must think we are. Biden energy advisor claims it's just factually not true. The gas prices were rising before Ukraine invasion. It's not true, he says, gas prices were going up before the invasion. I wonder where he was. Biden administration energy advisor Amos Hochstein claimed Wednesday that it's just factually not true. They claim the gas prices were increasing before the invasion of Ukraine early this year, despite the fact that the prices had increased by over $1 per gallon from the day Biden took office to the day of Russian military intervention. Now, he made that comment, by the way, on Fox News, so... Melody, that guy's either got a very bad memory or he's a liar. Which one do you think it is?
Gee, both.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, listen to this. I don't feel the pain of inflation anymore, says wealthy San Francisco Fed chair from Ivory Tower. She doesn't feel the pain of Melody of the inflation anymore. And I want to read this article. I want you to comment on it because this is. This is more than rude. This is callous. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly, who makes $422,900 a year, I do believe I could squeeze by on that, Melody. What do you think? Can you make it on that?
Yeah, sure.
It'd be kind of tight, maybe. You can make it though, right?
Of course.
And it says that she makes $242,900 a year. And scrambled out dozens of investments last year, shortly before the Fed finalized strict new limits on policymakers' portfolios. Just had her Nancy Pelosi ice cream moment, dropping a sidewalk spattering turd from her ivory tower on the average struggling American. During an interview with Reuters, broadcast live on Twitter Spaces, Daly said, "I don't feel the pain of inflation anymore. I see prices rising, but I have enough. I sometimes balk at the price of things, but I don't mind myself. I don't find myself in a space where I have to make trade-offs because I have enough. And many Americans have enough." Really? Then, perhaps realizing a terrible optics of what she has said, Daly then expressed sympathy for those who don't have enough. Was that a slip? Did her brain shut down? Or is she that arrogant? What do you think on that?
You know, but that's how so many of those politicians and everything feel. It's just, they only do or say what they have to say and get in order to get a vote. They don't care.
She doesn't even run for office, but she's a Fed chair.
But it's all the same. I mean, they get appointed and so forth, so they don't really care. They all make great money and blah blah blah. Story goes on. They don't care.
They don't care. And apparently, I mean, they can say that right in the public, and no one really knows that. I don't get it. I mean,
no,
this
they don't.
Gentleman, no, they just don't. They don't. They don't care. Like you said, if Hochstein can say that gas didn't start raising until after the war started, and now Miss Daly says she's not feeling the pain, and most Americans aren't feeling the pain, I think she's a flat-out bigot and liar, in my opinion. Just my opinion. In my opinion, a dollar and a half by a cup of coffee probably somewhere. But anyway, any comments on that?
No.
All right.
Well, I did.
Yeah, you did. You did. I may want to add some more. I had a good article here for Peter Schiff. I must have lost. I have to keep it for Friday. A really good article for Peter Schiff, but I'll find it again. GOP governors cause havoc by busing migrants, or illegals, folks, another word for it, to East Coast. GOP governors are causing havoc? No, they're not causing any havoc. The havoc starts on the border where these are crossing in and getting to stay in this country and getting IDs and across the border, being escorted by federal marshals. That's what causes havoc, folks. It's not because they're being shipped to East Coast cities. No, 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 no. It may cause havoc to the cities, but the reason it started is not because the governors did it. It's because the federal government allowed it to happen. That's pretty clear, isn't it, Melody?
Pretty clear.
Levere Alajos was out of money and out of options when he arrived in South Texas last month after a 13-mile journey from Venezuela that culminated with his crossing the Rio Grande and water up to his chin. The Border Patrol quickly arrested him, and after his release, he was offered a choice. Now, they caught him crossing, they literally caught him crossing the river, the Rio Grande. They caught him, and then they released him and gave him a choice. What should his choice have been? No choice. You've been shipped back across the border, come back in again, you're going to prison for 20 years, you're going to do hard labor. That's a choice. And in the mail, that's a good choice. Would you agree?
That's a good choice. Yep, absolutely.
Anyway, he was given a choice, a $50 bus ride to San Antonio or a free bus ride to Washington, D.C., paid for by the state of Texas. I wanted San Antonio, but I'd run out of money, said Mr. Agios, 28, who had no family in the United States. I boarded the bus to Washington. A few days later, he arrived in the nation's capital among a busload of weary migrants, illegals, folks. Let's put that migrant out of there. They're illegals. He spent the first night in the plaza across from Union Station, but eventually found a bed in Central Union Mission, where he hopes to stay until he can apply for asylum, get a work permit, and find a job. A process that could take months. A political tactic by the governors of Texas and Arizona to offload the problems caused by record levels of migration at the border began to hit home in Washington as hundreds of undocumented illegal aliens arriving on the governor's free bus rides each week increasingly taxed the Capitol building to provide emergency food and housing. Well, then why doesn't the Capitol building put guards along the border? That would solve the problem so easily and save billions and trillions of dollars in the long run. With no money and no family receiving them, the migrants, the illegals, are overwhelming immigrant or illegals, nonprofits, and other volunteer groups, with many ending up in the homeless shelters or in park benches. Five buses arrived on a recent day, spilling young men and families with nowhere to go into the streets near the Capitol. Since April, Texas has delivered more than 6,200 migrants, illegals, to the nation's capital, with Arizona dispatching an additional 1,000 since May. The influx has prompted Muriel E. Bowser, Washington's Democrat mayor, to ask the Defense Department to send the National Guard in. The request has infuriated organizations that have been assisting the migrants without any city support. A vast majority of recent bus riders are Venezuelans fleeing from the crisis-ridden country, and many have also been arriving in New York, often via Washington. Eric Adams, mayor of New York City, announced emergency measures on Monday to enable the city to quickly build additional shelter capacity. The mayor, also a Democrat, said that the city has received 4,000 asylum seekers, illegals, since May, fueling a 10% growth in the homeless population with about 100 new arrivals each day. And we're supposed to say boo-hoo? We're supposed to cry over that? I don't think so. I feel sorry for people. I really, really do. Folks, I'm not heartless. I understand that the gentleman here had no money, no family here, and he's come out of Venezuela trying to escape what's down there. But he's bringing the problems with him for a lot of reasons. First off, we're going down the same road they did at a very fast pace. He's coming into this country illegally. And if you have a family, you're just doubling the load on yourself. And you double load on us, actually. You get across the border, we're paying for it. If the governors and the politicians want to end this, it'd be very easily done. Put the National Guard where it should be. Bring the military home from places they shouldn't be. And put them on the border and tell them, you don't cross the border here. Not illegally. You come in, if you work in this country, you can leave at the end of the day, but you do not stay here. If you're caught the first time, you'll be sent home the first time at our expense. The second time you go to prison, 20 years of hard labor. You'll be fixing roads, fixing bridges. You'll be doing labor. You'll be picking up trash along the road, cutting grass along the roads. You'll be paying for your keep here, but you're not going to freeload off the American people. Maybe I should run president, Melody.
I think you should.
I mean, enough is enough, and it's time to get angry. I don't apologize for getting angry. It used to be bothering me some, but I feel sorry for the people. I truly do. Now, Melody, if all of a sudden you had 100 people come into your house and say, I want asylum, you couldn't feed and house 100 people. You don't have the means to do that. But the American people no longer have the means to feed these millions either, do we?
No, we don't. And, again, it's just... No, there's no one who says anything. There's no one who, we're usually on the mainstream media. They don't interview politicians anymore about the border. Very few. I mean, other than the Governor Abbott. But they don't interview anyone from D.C. And you don't see very many senators or congressmen that are being interviewed on TV about the immigration problem. It's all people from the state, from various past organizations. These politicians, they're all part of it.
Yes,
and
they are.
The thing of it is, they can't do hard labor to prisoners because look at all the jobs that would be lost anymore. So, and I agree with hard labor. That's what should be taken care of this. For these projects.
What and if we were saving
but instead
these
of giving
of
them
dollars,
TV, cable, and
sure,
and everything
ID
else,
get the welfare, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But if we would do that, put them in hard labor, and they'll cut the expense of the taxpayers and businesses so much, they could probably do more hiring and expand the businesses.
Maybe
we'd probably increase
probably.
The jobs.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but when I get my money at the end of the month. The first of the month, and it's tax taken out of it, no matter what I'm doing, I can use that money just as well as anybody else can, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. And, good time with this article, I think. Germany sure has got itself in a mess. Germany's Uniper warns of possible irregular operation as major power plant as Rhine River runs dry. Now, they ship most of their coal. They're going back to coal now, by river, and the river's drying up. They can get over land, folks, but it costs a lot more and can't get as much at one time. But anyway, Germany's Uniper SE, the country's largest utility, recently bailed out by state-owned lender KfW, warned Thursday that plunging water levels in the Rhine River have reduced the barge shipments of coal to a key power plant, exacerbating the energy crunch as power prices soar to record highs, reported Bloomberg. The River Kob, Germany, is around 21.6 inches on Thursday and is expected to drop to 18.5 inches by Saturday, according to the German Federal Waterways and Shipping Administration. Currently, Europe's most crucial waterway is 5.9 inches from being impassable, the threshold where barge traffic is 15.7 inches. So soon, within less than 6 inches... the river will be impassable to barge. And barge, folks, are very shallow water boats. They don't take up a lot of water because they're made flat and wide. They don't sink as much. Uniper said the lower water levels could force irregular operation at its 510-megawatt Stadtdinger 5 coal-fired power plant through the first half of September because fewer and fewer barges have been able to deliver coal as stockpiles dwindle. Rhine River levels below 40 centimeters at Kob would halt shipments via inland waterways to the power plant, forcing shipments by land. On Wednesday, River Lake, a vessel broker, said fewer and fewer barges can pass through Kob. That's not good. They had to go back to coal, obviously, and that, they admitted they made a mistake. They were trying. They were going to. They trusted Russia for the gas, and of course that's dried up. And folks, we've said this 1,000 times. When you trust somebody else to feed you, clothe you, and house you, they become your boss. Whether you want to admit it or not, they do. People, they live off the U.S. government. Most of us have some kind of check in from them. They're cut off. We have a hard time eating. So, therefore, we kind of tolerate what they do because we don't want to make them mad. They'll cut off our sources. If we stayed independent as individuals and as a nation, we won't be in this mess right now, folks. We would not be in this mess if we stayed independent as we should have. But we didn't, individually or as nations. So, therefore, we tolerate a lot of evils because we want to eat. Now, that is a fact. Melody, what do you want to say in closing?
1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Prices are moving up. Did we touch bottom? I think maybe we have. I think we found that bottom, and gold and price, silver prices will go up and down. But I have a feeling today's prices might be a reflection on the report coming out tomorrow and what everyone is expecting to happen with that jobs report. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.